From a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west, the mountain mess in the occupied states of America. I am Mr. Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. On the other end of the inner tubes, we have Mr. Davy Barker, the Shiny Badger. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We had a discussion about that. You said you were doing good, and I said, it's in the Freedom Fiend's Guide to Podcasting, which you can find by going to creamyradioaudio.com. It's a 90-minute movie I made with Davy's help about everything you need to know about how to podcast and do a show as nice-sounding as ours on very little money. And during it, we kind of did a mock-up of actually doing a podcast. We did exactly what we did, but we weren't broadcasting or recording it other than for that video. And in it, I said, "How you doing, Davy?" And he said, "I'm doing good." And I said, "No, Superman does good. You're doing well." I was correcting your grammar, but then you said, "No, you were doing good. You were saving the universe on your computer somehow."
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm performing a service by appearing on the Freedom Fiends.
Thank you for your service. I want that to spread to the moon. We were talking before the show about the phrase "to the moon." It's a really horrible phrase, and people should stop using it in the same way they should stop calling cutoff t-shirts wife beaters. Have you ever seen, there's some comedian who has a riff about that, like, you know, if you call those wife beaters, maybe you should call, like, you know, tidy whitey underwear like child molesters or something.
Well, if we're going to be egalitarian about it, we should call them spouse beaters.
Yeah, because there is a large problem of spousal abuse in the gay and lesbian communities, and you can help. But no, we don't have, they're not a sponsor. the anti-gay, the gay and lesbian anti spouse beating t-shirt wearers contest is not a sponsor of the Freedom Fiends yet. Where does "to the moon" come from?
To the moon. Well, it's popular because of Bitcoin, and it's a price thing, although Bitcoin's not cooperating. So
no, Bitcoin's like one of those, it's not the rocket that blows up on the launch pad, but it's the kind of one that, like, just keeps going up and down near the launch pad, or not. It's pretty far from the launch pad, actually, but it's in the stratosphere, but it's not to the moon yet.
Yeah. It's in a geosynchronous orbit right now, but it comes from, the phrase "to the moon" comes from the Honeymooners, and it's kind of almost a domestic violence reference.
It is totally a domestic violence reference. It's like, "One of these days, smack you right in the kisser to the moon," something like that. Like, he basically is saying, "Wife, I will beat you to the moon." So I don't really think that should be like a catchy saying people say for Bitcoin.
Yeah, I wonder if it has something to do with the name the Honeymooners. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it, which I am want to do. That's
really, there were several, at least two TV shows back in the day. The Honeymooners was before my time, but I saw it on reruns along with I Love Lucy as a kid. And then there was The Newlywed Game, which was people placed a lot of value back then, not only on marriage, but on the first year of marriage, you know, the honeymoon period, yeah. The newlywed period. And you ever see The Newlywed Game? It's kind of funny.
I have. It's like about guessing what your spouse's answers to certain questions are, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like, back then it was like, you know, trying to make polite people blush on TV was the point. But
yeah, I think I might do very poorly at that game, but it's just because my wife and I have more important things to talk about than like our favorite colors and stuff.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. And like with the tertiary important stuff like that, it wouldn't matter. Like, my wife and I like some of the same music, but we despise a lot of the music. She really likes the band The Cowboy Junkies. I can't stand them. I really like black Norwegian metal. She can't stand it. But, you know, it's like the dating site we met on, that really wasn't an issue. Yeah. And that's weird when people pair themselves up by their superfluous likes, I think, because it really doesn't mean, I'd be more concerned, you know. I think a dating, I think there should be one for ANCAPs. Like, really, like, do you hate the government on a scale of 1 to 10? How much do you hate the government? That would be far more.
Libertarian speed dating.
Right. That would be, is that a thing?
No, but there's a meme of there. It's a meme that people have where it's like two people talking like it's speed dating, and somebody asks a question like, are you a Keynesian or an Austrian? And then whatever, depending on what she says, the guy leans over and goes, next.
Yeah. That's far more important than, you know, what your favorite color is. I think that does, you don't build a lasting relationship on having the same favorite color or the same Cowboy Junkie song or the same song.
I was doing dishes the other day because I'm the good wife in my marriage. And I ran out of talk radio. And so I was listening to Nirvana, and my wife had never heard me listen to Nirvana before. And so she thought I was angry.
Is that like a cultural thing?
It must be.
Did she live in America when Nirvana was big?
Yeah, but she didn't listen to Nirvana. She was into like hip hop and rap and stuff. Okay. And so like she thought I was angry. I was like, no, I'm actually in a really good mood, feeling kind of reminiscent.
And, if I found my wife listening to hip hop, I'd probably think she was angry. Yeah.
So yeah, we have very different tastes in music, and that's okay.
Yeah, man. You're the wife in the I do a lot of housework, but I wouldn't say I'm the wife. This is kind of weird and twisted, but I actually really kind of enjoy housework, and it's totally like I was listening to Mark Edge today, and he was talking about like it was funny because he was basically talking about how on Free Talk Live, he was talking about how he talks to himself when he's not on the air. And I was thinking like, I kind of do that. I don't do it out loud, but I kind of like phrase stuff in my head and have conversations like I would have with you on the air. And
ongoing dialogues with multiple characters.
And I write it down if it's good enough, if it's pod worthy.
I do that too.
And I was thinking like, you know, those people, the crazy people ranting on the corner, they're not crazy. They just need talk show. They just need podcasts, man. I think we should do an outreach, to like get those people podcasts. Now that I've done my how to podcast video on Creamy Radio Audio, maybe we should figure out some way to like, you know, get the homeless, you know, instead of buying them dinner or a jacket, you know, buy them a little like MP3 recorder and an account on some server or something. And then they can rant and they don't have to do it.
Could be a segment on the show.
There you go. Yeah. Well, they all have cell phones. We could probably you do homeless outreach. Maybe we should, we never take calls on the Fiends, but maybe you should start giving the call in number to homeless people in San Francisco.
There you go.
Yeah.
It would be interesting.
Yeah. Call it the Tenderloin Minute or something. Yeah. If people don't know, the Tenderloin is a neighborhood in San Francisco that is, kind of it's the former theater district, and now it's kind of Skid Row around 6th and Market, you know, area around there. Do you know why it's called the Tenderloin?
I don't.
The story goes that a good steak was all you needed to bribe the cops in that neighborhood back in the day.
Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To the moon. God, that's horrible.
I got the full dialogue here. So the trope is, the husband says, one of these days, pow, right in the kisser, bang, zoom, to the moon, to which the wife says, ah, shut up. So clearly a happy couple there.
Yeah. Was that ever funny? Like, I don't know if I find that offensive. I just find that like, really, people were that stupid. You know, I'm not going to be like Stefan Molyneux and go like, and that is a problem in our society that we have to solve. I'm just like, really? People like that? Man, people were simpler and stupider back then.
It's funny, like Archie Bunker is funny. Like it shouldn't be funny, but the
Archie Bunker is funny.
but some of his jokes are like, so they make you uncomfortable, and that's why you laugh.
Yeah, but some of the jokes were like, I mean, he was actually a liberal, and everybody writing on that was a liberal, and you know, like,
wow, really? That's awesome.
Yeah, and but some of the things that were jokes on there, like, actually made sense. There's an Archie Bunker where Archie Bunker, is it All in the Family, where Archie Bunker is saying, he's watching TV with his, you know, with Meathead and his daughter and his wife, and there's a news item about a kidnapping, and he says, you know what we ought to do about these kidnappings is just let everybody bring their gun on the plane. Then you'd never have a kidnapping. And Meathead just rails at him, and just, you know, the joke is that that's a stupid thing to say, but it's actually not a stupid thing to say.
You know, I had an idea today, and I want to do the math and see what would happen.
The math.
The math. I want to do the Common Core math.
No, the proper thing is the I'm correcting your grammar again. It's do the maths. Is
that correct? Are you serious? Yes, that can't be correct.
Look it up, man.
All right. So here's the maths I want to do. I want to see if the military budget is more than giving every man, woman, and child in America a weapon. No, a weapon, a rifle, a pistol, something that fires. Which I don't.
It absolutely would be more if you included any shootable single shot gun in that. I mean, do you know about the Liberator?
Yeah, both historic and
I'm talking about the historical one. I'm not talking about the printed. Yeah, for people who don't know, Cody Wilson, who made the 3D printable gun, named it the Liberator. He named it after a very interesting, like almost I could co-sign this military action if it wasn't coming from the government. Like this should be done by private organizations. Although if you tried to raise money to do it, you'd probably end up in Gitmo. During World War II, the United States government made a bunch of single shot 45 pistols that cost like $2 each to make, which would probably be like $20 each to make now to mass produce. And they mass produced them. And the plan was, and they had a little kit for them that was like this a little bigger than an Altoids box. And it contained this 45, 10 rounds of ammo, pictographic directions that were like pictograph and in like five languages of Europe. And it had 10 45 bullets in it and a little dowel to remove the bullet from it, 'cause it wouldn't just eject. You had to actually push it out.
Okay.
And the plan was, and I've actually seen one of these. They're extremely rare. They have one in the Cody, Wyoming Gun Museum, which is awesome. The Cody.
That's an interesting coincidence.
Why?
Because it's Cody.
Well, it's Buffalo Bill Cody. The town is named after him. And it's the Buffalo Bill Cody Museum. It's an amazing museum. It's there's five museums. There's the biggest firearm public museum in the world. There is a natural history museum. There's a Native American museum. There's a Western art museum and a geological museum, all in one giant complex. And it's like one ticket gets you into all of them. But the plan was to drop these from an airplane all over Europe. And, you know, what you're supposed to do is like take one of these, walk up to a Nazi, ask him for a light for your cigarette. Your friend comes up, shoots him in the back of the head. You take his helmet, his uniform, and the chocolate in his pocket. And you keep doing that till you have a militia.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Ross Ulbricht was arrested by the FBI in 2013 and charged with victimless crimes in relation to allegedly operating the Bitcoin-based Silk Road black market. He has been in a prison cell awaiting trial ever since. If he did it, he's a hero for making the black market a safer place. If he did not, he's a man wrongfully accused. Either way, if you love freedom and want to end the war on drugs, Ross and his family need your support. You can learn more and help fund his defense at FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
I actually think I do not like the same musician, the same economist that my favorite musicians like. And you know, it's actually since I became one of these libertarian cult members who thinks everything is aggression, I've sort of had a problem of like, can I still like the band U2? I mean, I like U2. They're a good band for that kind of music. But I mean, that guy wants to be like the king of the one world government or something.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I still like Actors I Hate, and I still like what's another good example of somebody I hate?
I still like punk rock bands from San Francisco whose members robbed me. It really does. It doesn't. Okay. The music's still good, man. Like literally people who rip me off.
Comedians is a good example. Like people love to hate on Russell Brand because he's a Marxist, but I still think he's very entertaining.
Yeah. I've had problems with a few celebrities, particularly comedians I really like, who recently came out as really anti-gun. It really bummed me out. Because comedy makes me really happy. And there's actually really good stand-up coming out right now. And there's really good comedians that are like standing on the shoulders of giants. You know, it's like Woody Allen was kind of funny sometimes, but he was kind of creepy and kind of dull and kind of pretentious sometimes. But, and then who's the guy that did all the filthy foul stand up and got busted for drugs by the FBI and the CIA in the 60s. What's that guy's name?
I don't know. Hunter S. Thompson?
Lenny Bruce. But, okay. You know, like there's this whole class of comedians, like Louis C.K. is probably one of the kings of them, who are very influenced by Woody Allen and Lenny Bruce, but have like raised it to this whole new level. And there's the other guy. I can't remember his name. I love these guys. I can't remember their names, though. The guy that's kind of, Patton Oswalt. I love that guy's comedy. But he came out after Sandy Hook and basically said anybody who owns a gun should be shot by the government. And I was like,
all right, I got the maths for you.
You did the maths? Okay.
So Wikipedia hasn't been updated since 2011, but apparently the military budget in 2011 was $683.7 billion.
Okay. And that doesn't include black budgets and, you know, the NSA and all those other things.
No.
But we're just going to go.
It includes
Let's round it up to a trillion.
It's probably more than a trillion. I got to do the math again.
All right. Let me hear your math. Maths.
Hang on a second. We'll just say $1 trillion. Okay, so if the military budget is $1 trillion, which I've heard that figure before.
I think I heard that figure in the 70s, and it's probably gone up.
Okay,
although a trillion in the 70s would be like $3 trillion now, so it really hasn't gone up. It's kind of like the military budget's like the price of gold. It has the same buying power no matter what the numbers are attached to it.
Okay. So the U.S. population in the 2013 consensus census was 360.
Consensus sounds like, what do you think?
Okay, what do you think?
What do you think? How many people do you think there are? All right. That sounds good. Pretty good. Close enough for government work.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. It was 316.1 million people.
Okay, how much do we get to spend on each person's weapon in America?
$3,163.56.
Dude, you can buy an awesome weapon for that much. You could buy an FN FAL, like, you know, battle rifle, 30-round, extremely accurate, you know, full auto, burst fire, submachine gun, not submachine gun, full auto machine gun. Although they don't work very well as machine guns. They're too unwieldy and too powerful, but they are awesome guns. I used to own a DSA FAL, which cost like $1,400.
Now the thought experiment is,
sorry,
would America be safer if every man, woman, and child in America had a high power, nice quality, accurate, deadly assault rifle rather than the military we have today?
Yeah. We'd all be safer. Although I think we'd actually get to lib pair pretty quick, but I think it would be a kind of messy process. I really do.
It probably would, but would it be more messy, you know, than the U.S. military?
To make an omelet, you got to break some eggs, as they say in Fight Club. Yeah.
So I think I'm going to advocate this position. I'm going to get some more specific numbers. I'm going to pick out the weapon I think should be purchased for this price. And I'm going to advocate it.
Or instead of getting one really stellar class A type weapon for everybody, you could get everybody like 30, you know, like 15 World War II surplus battle rifles and 3,000 rounds of ammo for that price.
You know, you could also say, just sort of in a general sort of like, if you're a gun polisher who's waiting for his opportunity to start shooting bureaucrats, that should be your budget, your personal budget, if you're you know, doing your fair share of national defense.
You know, I know that, like, the gun isn't the thing, you know, like, guns don't kill people, people do. But I own a couple rifles that were actually used to kill actual Nazis, and I kind of like that. That's kind of neat.
That's cool.
Yeah, man. Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Worms. So, Davi, the Freedom Fiends are now on LRN twice a day. We're on live now, and then we're on from 5 to 7 p.m. East Coast time, right before Free Talk Live. That's pretty cool. I like it.
There you go. That's a good time spot.
Yeah, and I'm really psyched that on Monday night, we're starting on four new stations in Utah on the nighttime show live all 5 nights a week. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do the maths. What did you learn about the phrase do the maths?
I learned that the UK is silly. This comes up on, you know, there's Yahoo Answers, right? But this is Yahoo Answers UK. And the question is, why do Americans say math instead of maths? And it explains that maths is the appropriate abbreviation for mathematics, which I'm willing to bet most Americans don't even know. And that it's the appropriate use of the word every instance you'd use math. So you don't go to math class, you go to maths class. and this is essentially just a nice British fellow complaining about how Americans mangle the language. And he gives a bunch of other examples like aluminium. And
that, I know that they say it that way, but that sounds so wrong to me. Aluminium. Yeah. Crazy Brits.
Well, they say lots of other awful things. Like they call police bobbies.
Do they still do that, though? I think they also call them police.
Maybe they do. I don't know.
You're splitting hairs here of those are colloquialisms like, you know, an elevator is a lift and a sweater is a perambulator. No, a sweater is a jumper and a baby carriage is a perambulator.
They use tins. They don't say cans.
That sounds so like hiding in a bunker in World War II to me for
like,
some
reason. Like they don't stockpile cans of food. They stockpile food tins.
They're not made of tin anymore. Although aluminum foil hats are really made of it's not aluminum. No, it's tin. It is an aluminum alloy. It's not tin foil. People still call it tin foil.
Well, they're wrong.
If you're ever in Prague, go visit. This is not just for you, Davi. If anyone's ever in Prague, go visit the Museum of Communism. It's pretty awesome. If you ever think, well, everything should be shared equally, go visit the Museum of Communism in Prague. You'll walk out of there crying and wanting to be a total capitalist. I mean, it's basically like showing what life was like in Czechoslovakia under communism. And it's there's this one display that's like, you know how in the movie Repo Man, they like all the food is generic, like it's in white cans with black letters that says like food, and all the beer is just white cans with black letters that says beer. It's kind of like that, except it's in like, you know, weird Cyrillic Eastern
brutalist advertising.
Yeah. And like the food under communism was all canned and like poorly labeled, and they have a bunch of it. And there's this like talking kiosk that tells you in Czech and in English that this food had like really high contents of lead and it was the only food available. So eat your poisoned food, comrade.
Yeah. And well, you know, the bread was good under communism because look at the lines.
People waited in line. Yeah. I saw a great meme on that. It was like in communism, people wait for bread. And then it showed like a modern bread store with all kinds, a bakery with all kinds of things on display. And it said, under capitalism, bread waits for you.
Yeah.
Or it was you. No, it was people wait for bread. Under capitalism, bread waits for people. It actually should have been the Russian reversal joke. You know, the Yakov Smirnoff style joke, which he actually never did.
In
that.
In capitalist America, bread waits for you.
Yes. He actually, he's known for that, but he actually never did that. The only time he ever did that was because somehow, like, people did parodied him doing that. He did a lot of observational humor about how horrible life was in the Soviet Union. But, like, one of my favorites was, he says, I come to America, I hear comedians say, take my wife, please. You don't say that in Soviet Union because they will.
Yeah, in Soviet Russia, you can criticize your leaders once.
Yeah, that was really, I kind of like, that was really funny, but I was like, whoa. You know, I mean, that was during the Cold War and it was pretty awesome. We tried to get Yakov Smirnoff to do an interview on this show. We don't really usually do interviews, but Ben Stone was in, what's that, Branson, Missouri, where Yakov has a theater, actually. And but it didn't happen. They never got back to us.
I wonder if there's a museum of capitalism anywhere besides the shopping mall.
In Moscow. In America,
maybe North Korea. Maybe North Korea has a museum of capitalism.
There should be one in America, like, you know, how here museums show extinct things. They should have that for capitalism.
Yeah, if it was honest, sure.
Yeah. So where were we? We're going to talk about Ashcroft and boobies or something. Can we say just, boobies on the air? Let me.
I don't know.
Let me backpedal there. We're going to your house. You can come on in and put your muddy feet up in my house, Dobby. Tell me about Ashcroft and boobies.
So I thought this was Strom Thurmond, but it was actually John Ashcroft, and
it was a Republican who was as extreme of a person as Strom was extreme as a Democrat.
You know, John Ashcroft is the kind of guy who, you know, looks at pornography so he'll know it when he sees it.
Wasn't he the Attorney General under Bush? George Bush?
I think so.
Yeah, that whole era of Bush was really scary because it was like, here's what happened. Who's the guy before Reagan Barry Goldwater. So Barry Goldwater is considered the father of modern libertarianism, but he's not in any way. Basically, what he's the father of is talking the talk like you hate the government and want it to drown in a bathtub. He was the first politician in modern times, especially Republican, to really do that. Mm-hmm. And he didn't really believe that. He's the guy that wanted to nuke Vietnam to save lives and end the war. He was crazy, but he, you know, he was mildly libertarian on a couple things. Like, you know, he was like, well, I don't think homosexuals should be in prison. They should just be put in mental institutions until they're cured. You know, that was
right.
Like
we should just put them all on an island until they breed themselves out.
That was his progressivism as a Republican. But he did say a lot of things like the, you know, extremism in the support of liberty is no vice. The thing is, he didn't really say that stuff. He had a script writer, Carl Hess, who was a straight up anarchist, like called himself an anarchist, was an actual anarchist, used to smoke hash and write speeches for Goldwater. So this stuff really resonated with the voters, and Goldwater looked like he was going to win and then didn't. And then, like, you know, 14 or 15 years later, Reagan, who used to be a Hollywood liberal until John Wayne said, hey, how would you like to play your greatest role ever and become a Republican and be the president? And he's like, well, okay. And Reagan took Goldwater's I hate the government kind of stuff and won with that. Although right. it was all talk, man. That guy raised taxes, added gun laws, added to the war on drugs. Had his wife pose on a tank in South Central Los Angeles for the war on drugs. She was the poster baby of it. He was a horrible guy, but
because we're going to fight the war on drugs with a tank. I guess we are fighting the war on them. Well, they are.
Now they are. Now they are. It was the prototype for the Bearcats. But So Reagan talked a long talk. You know, he said some amazing things that are really quotable. Like, the scariest words in the English language are, we're from the government and we're here to help you. Which is why that's a running joke in the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. Like the cop, played by me, who's raiding the marijuana farm before I get eaten by a bear, I run in, point a gun to the peaceful pot grower's head and say, we're from the government and we're here to help you.
Yeah. I was really disappointed to find out that wasn't a true story.
What?
The six drug police officer was eaten by bears.
Six drug police were eaten by bears.
Because I'd heard that clip so many times in the commercial.
And Nima was a professional newsman at the time, and he's so good at that kind of delivery that even audio only, it's totally believable.
Right.
Yep.
So the joke is there's this statue. It's not a joke. It's a fact. But there's this statue called the Spirit of Justice.
It's a naked lady. It's a naked. It's kinky. It's a naked blindfolded lady.
Yeah, exactly. And so apparently,
where is it? Supreme Court, isn't it?
Where? Yeah, it's the Supreme Court, I think.
Yeah.
Lady Justice stands on display along with male counterpart Majesty of Justice in the Great Hall of Robert F. Kennedy Department of Justice building in Washington, D.C. And in 2002, John Ashcroft, in an effort to, you know, no pornography when he sees it, installed curtains over the statue. So,
didn't he originally take his jacket off and cover her up, though, when he was being photographed?
Yeah, he didn't want to appear with it. You know, because he didn't want the people back home to talk
about whatever. Europeans laugh really hard at Americans for doing things.
They must. I mean, the irony of it is just too perfect. We're covering up justice now with the curtain. Pay no attention to the statue behind the curtain.
There's some part of me that thinks when my wife retires and we're not tied to this town that we may expat somewhere. And, you know, everybody talks about going to Vietnam or Chile or, you know,
Cambodia,
like these places that I'm thinking, like, in my lifetime, those places have all had leaders worse than Hitler, who would have been worse than Hitler if they'd had enough time, but they got killed too quickly. I'm like, I don't want to go to Cambodia or Chile. You know, I'm thinking of like Pol Pot and Pinochet, and I'm like, the people that work for that guy are still like running shops there. I don't want to go live there. At least most of the Nazis have died out in Germany. I kind of want to move to Europe, man. I feel like I could live freer in Europe.
Estonia.
Than
Estonia consistently ranks very well on economic and personal liberties. Higher than America consistently. So
yeah, although
I don't know anything else about Estonia, but that's a nice.
I know that we get a lot of for the small size of that country, we get a lot of web traffic on the Freedom Fiend site from Estonia.
Because they love it.
Because they love it. Because they'd probably get shot for speaking in public like that. Or at least I actually believe that there are people in Europe. I've actually talked to a few people, but I think there are more than a few people who listen to The Fiends and listen to Free Talk Live over other Liberty podcast stuff because they're really just mind blown that we are on radio. They're like, how is that possible? You know? Government-controlled radio. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess Europe doesn't have a tradition of freedom of speech the same way that
they
America
do,
does.
But I don't think it's so much a matter of that there'd be laws against it. I think it's more like just the economics of there's like no commercial station that would let you do it in Europe. You know, and the thing is we're kind of being on radio, we're kind of on the coattails of Free Talk Live because they were the first to really do it, of being being straight up no government men, which is, I like that word better than anarchist. It's what Henry David Thoreau called himself, being no government men on radio. But we're all really kind of like just slipping between the cracks of like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. We're like, we hate Obama, put us on your station. And they're like, okay. And I don't think they ever listened to us to take us off.
So we're going to have to completely change our business model.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Prisoners in Ashcroft's Gitmo. That's going to be us. Ashcroft's going to come out of hiding to run the Fiends Gitmo. What do you think, Dobby?
I think they could come up with someone better.
I still want
Dick
to know
Cheney
more.
Would be more terrifying.
When you lived in Saudi Arabia, did you ever have any dealings with the police of vice and virtue?
Yeah, they used to pinch my mom.
What?
Yeah, so the government says to us that my mom doesn't have to dress like they do, that because she's not American. Muslim, those lies don't, those laws don't apply to her. And that memo apparently didn't reach all the way down to the street sort of, you know, beat cop for vice and virtue. And so they used to harass her for not dressing right. They also took away our cameras. We took my dad was a photographer at the time. It's part of why he was there, was he was an advertising consultant. And we apparently like inadvertently took a picture of a government building, and because they all looked the same, at least they did at the time. And so we got pulled over by these police, and my parents both like got out of the car and like yelled at this cop and refused to hand over their cameras.
What decade was this?
This was in the 80s.
So it took 30 years for America to catch up with being like Saudi Arabia, where you can't take pictures of government buildings.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't think Saudi Arabia is one on our short list of countries we might expat to.
No, I don't recommend it. Sounds pretty square, man. You know, I've been there. And if you're looking for sort of like a vacation in asceticism, maybe it's okay. But
well, my backyard would be good for that, too. I don't have to go all the way to there.
There's plenty of open fields that would give you all of the perks of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Well, a lot of Wyoming looks like a lot of Pakistan. I know that. So,
yeah. You know what they did have that I've never been able to find a substitute for is they had the best shawarma I've ever had in my life.
Well, that's the running joke in Stan of Arabia, that Family Guy episode or American Dad episode, where there's a guy who's worked. They have a franchise called Shawarma King on every corner.
It's true. I remember the shawarmas when I was a kid, and I've had shawarmas in the United States. Although I figured out why this was. This is because California makes it illegal to make a good shawarma.
Why?
But so a good shawarma is made on a rotisserie. You've probably seen this. It's like a big V-shaped thing of meat on a rotisserie, and it cooks on this sort of rotating thing, and then you cut it off with a knife, right?
Yeah.
So in California, it's illegal to cut meat that way. And so what Mediterranean food – because, I don't know, Ebola or something.
Man, liberals are as square as Republicans. I mean, you know, liberals love to make fun of Republicans for like, you want to outlaw teaching sex education in school. But how much less or more square is it to say like, you can't cut meat the way people do want to?
No, not only that, it actually changes the quality of the meat. So the way they do it in California is because nobody will go to a shawarma place that doesn't have a rotisserie. So these shawarma places buy a rotisserie, put the meat in the rotisserie, don't cook it there. They cut it off the rotisserie and then throw it on the grill, which completely changes the quality of the meat. And they do this in the back room because they know people will think that it's a fake shawarma if they cook it this way, if they're connoisseurs of Middle Eastern food. And so I personally know restaurateurs that went back to their like backward countries because they couldn't deal with California restaurant regulations. Like they went home to Saudi Arabia and Jordan because they were tired of dealing with California.
Well, remember when the Fiends changed from one web server to our hardened bulletproof web server, dedicated server recently? It took about 24 hours for everybody to be able to see the new site. And like, there's a site where you can see like which sites are seeing the old one and the new one around the world. And after 24 hours, Lou still was looking at the old site in Detroit, and like people in rural India and rural Pakistan could see the new site. Like the DNS servers update slower in Detroit than in like the desert parts of the Middle East.
Yeah. So if you're in California and you've noticed this problem with shawarmas in California, the place to go is a carnival or a flea market or anywhere where the person is making shawarmas in a pop-up tent. Because when they're in that situation, they know that they're not going to be inspected and they throw the rules out the window.
Does anyone do that at Porkfest? Does Will? Will was making food, but I didn't eat any. I don't know what it was.
I don't know. I bet George would have when he was doing food, but he doesn't do it anymore. That would have been Greek shawarma, but I bet it's just as good.
Is George the guy that brought his four wives to Porkfest and kept them in the hotel room?
I don't think so. No, George is George Mandrick. He used to do George's famous baklava, now he works for blockchain.info.
Yeah. Croatia might be considerable, but you know, anything that used to be Yugoslavia might not be great. And Estonia is like, I don't want any former Soviet state because they're trying to take them back now, it seems like.
No, but they know better. That's the point.
I want to 3D print a new planet, man. That's what I want.
An island. Like Superman.
Ice Fortress. All right, we'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends with Davi Barker and Michael Dean after this trip to the free market and
worms.
Some sort of news. worms.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Good evening, Sundance, Wyoming, and good evening, Belle Fouche, South Dakota. Those are the two stations that join us for the second hour. I like that. Because in the first hour, it's just Cairo, Illinois, and Paducah, Kentucky. And now it's both. We are growing as a show, and I'm happy with that because the Freedom Fiends is the world's premier show disseminating oppositional defiant disorder for fun and profit. Are you feeling ODD or odd tonight, Davi Barker?
Is that operational defiance disorder or whatever?
Oppositional defiant
ODD?
Disorder.
I have odd. ODD.
You're odd.
I'm odd. I am odd. I'm an oddity.
Do you know what the odd?
We're like a liberty virus. We start in the sort of like middle of the country and then we spread like an outbreak.
We're giving out Ebola. We were making the Ebola joke before this Ebola outbreak. So
that's true. We were.
If people think we're talking in bad taste or it's too soon, no, the Ebola is late to our plate.
We are patient zero of infectious liberty.
Yeah. So those of you who've been keeping up on my modem problems, I finally got the replacement modem today. I had to go out and get DSL in addition to cable because they're overselling the cable here in the Mountain West to the point where between 8 p.m. and midnight, it slows to like dial up levels and you can't do radio connect to the network with it. So I'm paying $500 a year extra for DSL. And I've been like unplugging cables and plugging them in before and after the show. But actually what I got this super duper router, this like industrial strength steam powered router or something that can switch from one modem to the other on the fly. It picks the best one. But I didn't want to set it up until I bought a DSL modem because I was renting one from the DSL company. I'm like, I'm not going to pay $7 a month for something I can buy for, you know, $100. For some obsolete World War II internet software hardware box. So I bought one and I was being a mensch. I was being a good guy. So I ordered it from a new company through Amazon. Like, they only had 4 reviews. They were all positive. I'm like, well, they might be sock puppets, but I'll help them out. I'll help build their business. And I ordered it. And like 2 weeks later, they hadn't shipped it. I just canceled the order. And Amazon, being the great mensch of a company they are, I love Amazon. They're how everything should be run. And they deserve to be number one in everything. And I don't care that they put the mom and pop bookstores out of business, because they do it better. Although they don't have the cat that you have in the bookstore, but you have your own cat in your room where you're using Amazon. So yeah. I ordered the other one, finally got it today, and it was shipped that weird way, that new thing everyone's doing where it's like UPS sends it overnight across the country, and then like the post office takes 4 days and delivers it to your house.
You know what? For every mom and pop bookstore they put out of business, there's a mom and pop. There's like 10 mom and pop authors that they put into business.
Yeah, and you're one of them. And
I am one of them.
I don't know if I'm one of them, because I was writing books that were published on paper before that were in bookstores. But I don't write books anymore because it's easier to just talk. It doesn't take any editing. And some would say that's the problem with it. But
less editing, more censoring.
I got my other modem today and then had to like reconnect everything I did before to, you know, re-enable it, set up the port forwarding, whatever. And then tomorrow, I was going to do this tonight, but then I was thinking like, I don't want to do this right before a show if I mess something. You know, I'm pretty good with computer stuff, but not to where like I do it because I like it. I'm pretty good at it because I'm my own IT guy all the time, so I have to be able to do this stuff. But I'm not good enough that I could definitely like, okay, the show's in 2 hours. I can absolutely set up a home network and trust that I'll be on the air. So I wouldn't wait till tomorrow when I have the day off and do it. But yeah, we're getting closer to that windowless NSA style Utah data bunker here. I'm happy.
Groovy.
Yeah. So I want to talk about the show. Well,
Homeland.
I want to talk about that. When we first started the show tonight, before we came on, we got on, connected a few minutes before the show, and Davi said, "I'm naked." And I said, "You got to put on some pants because this is
that's a half truth.
Because this is FCC radio. So you had to put on some underwear so we could do FCC radio."
I prefer pajama pants with no underwear, but that's okay.
Why is that a half truth?
Because it was you and not me.
Okay, I was naked.
Everything in that statement was true except the main character.
And, you know, some people say that I'm an egomaniac and I want to be the center of everything. No, I graciously made Davi the main character in that story. I don't need credit for everything that's good. All right, so I want to talk about the story Homeland. Are you familiar?
I'm kind of familiar. I don't really watch the show, though.
It's weird, but, you know, I've talked many times about how I actually like cop shows, and it's hard for me to like them now that I'm in the Liberty cult where I see everything as aggression. But the thing is, a lot of the best writing, directing, cinematography, editing, storytelling, acting, everything that makes a movie or a TV show, a lot of the best stuff happens in cop shows, man. I don't know why. People just gravitate towards it.
Aggression is the essence of drama.
It is. Conflict is the essence of drama. And what's more, you know, conflicting than aggression, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, to the point where, like, I've actually said that I think that a lot of the use of guns in movies is lazy writing, because it's like they don't want to actually write something interesting that happens. So someone pulls out a gun and all of a sudden it's, you know, it's drama.
Instant tension.
Well, you know, there was one of the French New Wave filmmakers, I forget which one, but one of them said, all you need to make a film is a girl and a gun.
You need a car chase.
or a horse chase. There's no car chase. There's no car chases in Hell on Wheels because it's before there were cars, but it's a pretty amazing show. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
I think you'd really like it. Oh, I saw, you know, I always ask you, because you're the zombie expert. You're the resident zombie correspondent on the Freedom Fiends. Have you ever seen, I saw a show the other day. I was channel flipping. I'm like, I don't want to watch this. It was a lot of nudity, but it's, I don't have any problem with nudity. I just have a problem with how it's used in a lot of cinema, in a lot of film.
Yeah.
But it was
nudity is a trope in zombie films.
What's a trope? It's a
nudity.
Fish. A fish, right? No. What's trope mean? I forget.
A trope means like a common motif that is present in almost every zombie movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cliche that there is a zombie somewhere that's naked for some reason.
All you need to make a sort zombie of like, movie is a girl that's willing to be naked and die and some red paint.
It is often a girl. Dye. That's true.
Yeah. No, this movie was called Zombie Strippers.
Oh, I've seen it. I had trouble sitting through it, actually.
It's not a very good movie.
No, it's not. It does have the guy from Freddy Krueger in it, though.
Did you ever see that show? It was a horror film. It wasn't a zombie film. But do you remember that show, Operation Greenlight?
That sounds really familiar. What was it about?
It was HBO or something. It was basically a reality show where people, where screenwriters pitched their scripts and the best one got produced and the screenwriter got to direct it. I actually knew the guy that won that. And
I'd like to play that game. I bet I could win.
Do you ever write a screenplay?
No, but I've edited screenplays. I'm familiar with the format. I bet I could do it.
Man, I like writing screenplays. I've written 3 or 4 unproduced screenplays. They're fun to write. But yeah, it was an interesting movie. And the zombie movie he made was really cool because it was like, you know, he basically got to pick anyone he wanted to be in it up to a certain really low budget. So it stars like the director's dad, Henry Rollins, and Judah Friedlander. Everyone dies in it.
So Shakespeare play.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I mean, yeah, who wouldn't want to kill their father in cinema and then, you know, take him out for dinner afterwards? That's very Shakespeare. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. I want to sing some Doors lyrics, but I can't because we're on radio. Okay, so moving on, Ophelia. We're talking about the show Homeland, which is here's the problem with white like and cop films. Is there, you have to really suspend your statism to like them. The only ones I really like are the ones where it's cops that only go after murderers and kidnappers and rapists. If they're ever going after drug dealers, I hate it. If they're ever going after nanny people, I hate it. And I liked CSI for the first like 10 seasons because, first of all, they weren't really cops. They carried guns and had badges, but were mostly in the lab or solving mysteries in a van driving around the country. But, the last 5 seasons have really gotten a lot more cop-like. You know, they are more cop-like. And those kind of shows invariably, when they're looking for the child murderer, if there's somebody they're trying to squeeze for information, you know, they'll threaten to arrest them for drugs, or they'll threaten to shut down their restaurant for health violations, or they'll threaten to, you know, call the IRS on them. So it's always got the nanny component in it.
You know what's a really great cop show if you feel guilty about liking cop shows is Reno 911. Have you ever seen that?
Heck, man, I like that. It's a guilty pleasure. I wish they'd make more of those.
But it's because it's a mockery, right? It's kind of like Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, which is a great show, which I have trouble watching because Amy Poehler wants gun owners to be shot by the government now.
Like the actress does?
It's hard to suspend that statism. Yeah, even Ron Swanson is really anti-gun, the guy who plays the libertarian politician in there.
Oh, that's too bad.
Although, I did like, he's not as adamant about it as everyone else. I did like when he did his Ask Me Anything on Reddit, someone said, "What's your favorite weapon?" And he said the trebuchet.
good answer.
It really is. Yep. It's kind of a, I don't like guns and I'm weird answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, Homeland is even harder for me to admit liking than cop shows because it's not a cop show. It's like a Department of Homeland Security show. Those are the heroes.
It's CIA, right?
Yeah. Something like that. And, the thing is that it's a great show. The everything about it, everything that makes it is great, except that the heroes are the CIA, which is really hard to like. And, you know, it's not like Men in Black or something where it's the CIA, but they're like hunting aliens or whatever, you know, is that the CIA? Men in Black?
Men in Black, I think, is the NSA because the actual
Doesn't stand for what NSA stands for. Right?
No, it's no such agency.
Right. Good name for a black op, but
yeah. Well, I mean, they used to deny that the NSA existed, and that was where the sort of the conspiracy theory of the Men in Black coming to cover things up came from.
Okay. Yeah, but so Homeland is the one really redeeming thing of it is that Claire Danes is the star, and she's really weird. I like her. She's really weird. Remember when she was a teenager in that really weird show with Jared Leto, My So-Called Life?
Yeah.
That was a great show. He played a burnout drug dealer or something. Hero. Worms. We'll be back.
Worms.
listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
The most feral show on radio.
Undomesticated radio.
I am a hissy spitter. I was just chatting with someone about cat care tips. Cats are outstanding, but you know, you got to Google how to take care of them.
They're the dominant species on the planet.
They really are. They really are. They would kill us if they could. If they're big enough, they would eat
us. We're too useful for them. As soon as we cease being useful, then they'll kill us.
Yeah. Yeah. When the aliens come, they'll just like bite our ankles till we let them out and then go on the spaceship and rule the earth.
Maybe that's the trick. Maybe Alpha Centauri aliens are coming here to take our...
Well, there was a Futurama about cats trying to change the rotation of the earth. Do you remember that? Davi? Oh, we've lost Davi. I'm going to just keep talking. Let's see. I'm going to read cat care questions. Okay. John asks, I have feral mama cat in my garage who hisses at me whenever I get close to her and waits until nobody's around to eat from the food dish. The cats my mom raises are mostly friendly and will let you pet them, but go crazy if you try to hold them for more than 20 seconds. They also wait until you leave to eat or drink. Two of our cats were feral when we got them. They were 6 months old. They weren't raised outdoors. They were just, yeah, I think we've lost. Have we lost internets? I don't know. Hey, Board Op, have we lost internets? Hello, hello. Is anyone there?
You're back. Go ahead.
We're back? All right. I'm back. I'm going to call Davi Barker back.
Hello, Davi Barker.
We had a small interruption in internet connectivity. That probably won't happen after tomorrow, after I get my... my other modem back on.
Are you okay? Have you been contacted by the government?
No, but I blame... This wouldn't happen if I had that other router hooked up now. And I don't have it hooked up now because I tried to help a struggling small businessman who let me down. Her businesswoman who let me down. F those people.
That's too bad.
That's what I say. I started reading cat care tips while you were gone. So we're talking about a Homeland with Claire Danes. Claire Danes is so weird, man. I like her. She's like...
As an actress, you mean she's weird, or this character in this show is
both,
weird?
Both. She's so weird in a good way. She looks kind of... I don't think she's sexy. I'm not saying like, oh, I am hot for her. I'm just like, whenever I see her, I go, man, she's weird. She kind of has this look like a lemur caught in the headlights of a UFO, you know?
I don't know. I haven't seen her since she was a teenager. Has she been in anything else?
Yeah, she played an abused wife in a John Grisham movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Was that Mulholland Drive?
No, that's not Grisham. That's
no, that's
that's the other weird. That's the weird, weird guy. Yeah, that's David. Yeah. David Lynch. David Lynch.
She does look kind of weird. I'm looking at like recent photos of her.
Yeah, man. Well,
she looks like she would age into a great actress to play Ann Coulter. But she has to age a little bit more first.
Yeah, well, her character in Homeland is really stressed. She's a drone operator, basically, or she's in charge of drone operations in the Middle East. So, you know, actually, I don't know if you've read about this, but drone operators have more PTSD than, like, people that drop bombs out of airplanes.
I have heard that. It kind of makes sense to me. I mean, like, there's a sense in which your mind knows what you're doing, even if you're completely impersonalized from the event.
Well, drone operators operate differently than bombers from planes, because bombers from planes are told, go to this location and drop bombs and then keep flying. Drone operators watch people from drones for months at a time sometimes. Like, they get to know them. They see them, like, playing in their yard with their kids and stuff.
That's kind of awful.
Yeah. And
they're stalkers.
Here's the weird thing. This show has largely looked like it's been a big, expensive Hollywood ad for the drone program and for, you know, torture and for doing whatever the government needs to do. But the latest episode, they bomb a wedding party. They drone a wedding party and there's film of it. Like, somebody at the wedding party is streaming the wedding party for a family member in a different location.
Wow.
And so they're recording it. So they have it. And
is there any kind of like redeeming quality that like maybe the show is about putting it in people's face?
Yeah, I think they've kind of like, I don't think it's like they have morals. I think they just did some, you know, had some focus groups and decided to do that. But the weird thing is, in the latest one, like, they drone a wedding party by mistake and it's a big issue. And I'm like, they don't drone them by mistake. They drone them intentionally because they know the guy they're looking for will show up there.
Right.
Yeah.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
This is the Freedom Fiends, and I know the story.
The names of the main characters have been changed to protect the naked.
So, I live in Wyoming. I live in a town I call Beast Lick, Wyoming. It's out in the middle of nowhere. I live in a windowless bunker with my wife and my cats and way too many guns and a microphone. And about twice a year, we take the covered wagon and go into Casper for provisions. And I was in Casper recently, and I picked up the paper and read it. And we can't find the story to read it because the local paper has a paywall. And they actually charge more than the New York Times, which is ridiculous. I think they're going to go out of business if they don't have a government subsidy. My theory, though, is that they have it in all the high schools here. And so I think they're charging a subscription for every student, and that's how they keep their paywall up. So
it is a government subsidy.
That's my theory. I don't know if that's true. But so I do know this is true. Is this weekend, a man was shot by police and killed in the town of Casper, Wyoming. And it's a small town. That doesn't happen there much. The state of Wyoming has like 7 homicides a year. And it's, I don't know if that's counting police homicides, but and homicide is the correct term, even if you're, you know, if it's justifiable, as it will be determined in this case, it's still called a homicide. It's taking a human life. So the police shot somebody in Casper. It was the story they tell that I'm having to do from memory from looking at the paper at the Walmart when I was in my covered wagon this weekend. And I can't look at it because the Casper Tribune has a paywall because they think they're worth money. But they're not. We call them the Prairie Pravda. That's the nickname. It's like the lefty paper in their red state. The Prairie Pravda, we're giving the official police explanation, which was that a 911 call comes in from a kid. Says his dad's screaming at his mother and he's afraid and he's hiding in the basement. Cops show up, knock on the door. Guy comes to the door holding one or two handguns, varying reports. Guy slams the door, goes back in the house. There's more screaming. Eventually, the cops shoot the guy and kill him. Don't really know whether they went in the house or he came out of the house or they threatened him with a gun or he threatened them with a gun or maybe he was holding a chocolate bar. Who knows? But they shot him and killed him. And they say that his wife said they were arguing because he'd gone back on steroids and she was upset about that. So, you know, it's got this sort of roid rage component to the story. I don't know what the story really is, but that's the story. So, I mean, this isn't a cut and dry case of like, oh my God, the police just murdered somebody. You know, I don't know if this, I don't really know the details on this. We know what the police are saying. You know, I don't know how this would be, if this would be different in a libertarian paradise, you know, with private security agencies. You know, the kid did call, he was afraid, and the police shot the husband. So, I'm not really questioning the story, you know, like I do when there's footage and it's in the BART station and the guy, you know, they handcuff him and shoot him in the back and say they thought they tasered him. That's cut and dry. That officer should be in prison. I don't know what the story is here. I know what the story they're telling. The details are thin. But on the Facebooks, go to the Casper Police Department page, please, and read to me some of read the statement from the police department, Davi.
You want me to start from the beginning?
Yeah, and I'm having you do it because I don't have enough internets to do that and do the show and connect to you. So go ahead.
So this is from
the police chief. No names. No names. Just go ahead and read it.
Okay. As previously released, on the evening of September 30th, Casper police officers responded to a physical domestic disturbance where a male was reported as having a gun. Two Casper police officers were confronted by an armed male at the front of the residence. The male drew his weapon on the officers and was subsequently shot by one of the officers. The male later succumbed to a fatal gunshot wound at the Wyoming Medical Center. This is a tragic incident for all involved, not only for law enforcement, fire, and EMS first responders, but even more importantly, for the family of the deceased. Officers of the Casper Police Department train and prepare for these exact situations. Department protocol and procedures following such officer-involved shooting incidents is to render immediate aid, contain and secure the scene, and immediately hand over the investigation to the Wyoming Division of Criminal Investigation. The Casper Police Department will additionally be concurrently conduct its own internal investigation to review and ensure officers' conduct and actions were in accordance with department policies and procedures. Officers directly involved in the shooting incident are placed on paid administrative leave during the investigation. This is in no way an indictment of their actions, but rather a standard precautionary and prudent procedure taken while thorough collection and examination of the facts can be conducted with determination of fair and accurate conclusions. While the investigation by DCI is still underway, as the facts and circumstances have been relayed to me, I commend the professionalism and conduct of our officers involved in this horribly tragic incident. Our hearts and condolences are with the family. This is not the resolution we ever hope or seek when we are called upon to respond to such situations. Additionally, the nature of these incidents with the following investigations.
Okay, how long does this go on?
I got two more sentences.
Okay, go ahead.
With the following investigations and the inherent scrutiny over actions can be trying for the officers involved, I ask Casper to please be patient and keep all involved in your thoughts and prayers during this time. Signed, Nobody.
Okay. The weird thing about this is it sounds very compassionate and it's giving a lot of compassion out, except for one glaring weird error. What is that glaring weird error?
He's offering his condolences to everyone except the victim.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says, I mean, listen to how carefully this is worded. This is a tragic incident for all involved, not only for law enforcement, fire, and EMS first responders, because that's obviously the most important characters in this story, but even more importantly for the family of the deceased, and no mention of the deceased.
Yeah. And I have no doubt that the officers will be found not culpable in this.
Well, it's internal. It's an internal investigation. Yeah, yeah. So,
and I'm not picking on this police department in general. That's just the way it goes. But it's kind of weird how this is worded. It's almost like voodoo. It's because I read it twice, and the first time I was like, "Wow, that's kind of compassionate." And I started reading the comments, and the first one was, wow, what a compassionate statement from the police, you know? And I was like, wait a minute. And I went back and read it and I'm like, it's compassionate for everybody except the guy they shot. It's compassionate for, you know, the fire truck that pulled up that had nothing to do, you know, for the guys driving the fire truck. So, read a few of the statements from citizens, names redacted, but here's my other issue with it is, I mean, they're not saying the guy they shot was guilty and should have been shot. They're saying there'll be an investigation. They're saying, you know, innocent until proven guilty, basically. But yeah. Look at how the comments from the populace, and this happens anywhere. I'm not picking on this police department. This happens everywhere. Look at how the comments from the populace have already tried this person and found him guilty in their mind. Can you read some of them, please?
Well, I mean, an absorbent amount of the comments use the word kudos, and it makes me wonder if that's not like a local colloquialism. Word in Casper or something.
It's I don't know. It's cowboy for thank you for your service, I guess.
Yeah, but it's Casper PD is awesome! Exclamation point. You go, guys. Thank you for protecting us and our community. Yeah, what else? Well put, Chief. Nicely written. There's a lot of sort of like, I agree with you type of stuff. Godspeed to the officers involved and their families. Wow. Just like, okay, so the officers' families, right? I mean, it's not as egregious as a lot of stuff on these sort of state things, but
yeah, it's kind of polite, you know. Casper's kind of like that. That's, you know, we only go there a couple times a year in our covered wagon, but it is kind of a polite town. The people open, you know, men open doors for ladies and things like that, and you know, people are polite to each other generally, but not like them big city folks, but. It's very bizarre. It's almost surreal, this whole thing.
Well written, and I agree, but I don't understand why the officer had to kill him. I get it was an accident, but a simple shot in the arm or leg would have taken this guy down, and then he would still have his life. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and that's a young gal, because these are all Facebook posted comments. You know, mm-hmm. It's on Facebook. You can see who it is. That's a really now, I almost want to like argue with that comment, too, because that's a comment that's really common even in like totally justified self-defense shootings by civilians. You know, somebody breaks into someone's house, has a gun, is ready to kill the homeowner. The homeowner shoots the burglar in the middle of the night. And the mother of the scumbag that broke into the house always says, why? I understand. Why didn't you shoot him in the leg? Here's why you don't shoot him in the leg.
You're trained to shoot center of mass.
Yeah, because shooting in the leg, it's a lot easier to hit someone in the chest than it is to hit him in the leg.
I know this as the zombie correspondent.
Yeah, explain the zombie theory on this.
Well, so this is commonly brought up in well-written zombie fiction that people are trained to shoot center of mass, and suddenly having to get a headshot every time makes it very difficult to take down a herd of zombies, even if you have a high-powered weapon. And so when sort of unthinking or un-weapons-trained fans go, well, why didn't they just shoot down the whole herd? It's because it's very difficult to overcome that training.
And that's why shotguns are the preferable anti-zombie weapon or flamethrower, right?
Flamethrowers are bad because fire doesn't bring them down, so you just end up with a burning zombie coming at you. Here, listen to this. Thank you for all that you do. Hope the officer gets through this.
Ugh.
That one has the most likes. Almost.
What are they going to do when police are replaced with robots, which they will be?
They're going to offer their prayers and condolences to robots. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah. All right. I'm done with that if you are.
Yeah,
I think we should talk about the complete history of urination while filibustering.
Yeah, let me find that.
On Mother Jones, on this commie magazine.
So yeah, this came up because we were talking about Strom Thurmond, and he apparently holds the world record for the longest filibuster at 24 hours in
the U.S. I don't know if you can US. Filibuster in other countries. It's a weird little rule of United States congressional procedural things that in certain situations, if you don't stop talking, no one else can talk. And people have gone up and like read the phone book, you know?
It was originally intended to be like, let's be polite and not interrupt people.
Is it?
And now it's this sort of thing where you can hijack the whole proceeding. I'm fairly certain of it. It's that
I thought it was kind of, I thought it was kind of a like, if you have a burning desire, like, I don't think you were originally supposed to do it to block procedure. I think you were supposed to do it if it was like, we haven't read this bill. I'm going to read this bill kind of thing. I don't know, though.
Sure.
You can read the – you talk about – I'll look that up while you look at the Mother Jones thing and discuss it.
Sure. So the first one, this is titled Steam Baths and Surreptitious Urine Buckets.
Ew.
So Strom Thurmond, who completed the longest federal filibuster in U.S. history, 24 hours and 18 minutes, in 1957, took the minimalist route of a urine bucket.
Oh, it came from ancient Rome. It's not American only. A lot of countries have it, too.
There you go. So this says that he kept one foot on the Senate floor while...
Cato the Younger, Roman senator, invented it.
There you go.
The Cato Institute.
So thank
him. Is that named after him?
Doubt it.
To Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Freedom Fiends. All flaming zombies, all the time.
I'm really intrigued by this concept that Dobby Barker turned me on to, of flaming zombies. He was just so matter-of-fact, like, no, flamethrowers aren't good, because then you just end up with flaming zombies coming at you. So I Googled an image of flaming zombies, and Dobby's going to add a caption. They're going to be saying, thank you for your service.
What about the roads?
I was saying we should call this episode the government is always right, but what did you say instead?
I don't remember. Was it something to do with filibuster urine buckets?
We're trying to get on more stations. I don't want program directors looking at... See... I don't think they'd mind that in the show in context, but if they go to the website and see that, they're going to think that we're like Howard Stern and not take us. So.
No, we're talking about reputable people in Congress who just happen to need to relieve themselves on the Senate floor.
So tell me about that, Dobby.
So, so Strom Thurmond, in addition to having his urine bucket.
He was a racist. He's a straight up, like,
incredible racist.
Yeah, he was one of those, like... segregationist from the 1900. He'd been a
back when it was cool to be a Democrat and a white supremacist.
Yeah, back when, you know, the KKK were Democrats. Yeah, and he carried that forth into the future, and, you know, sat in Congress for 107 years wanting to take America back to when things were good.
Right.
Yeah.
When a man could relieve himself on the Senate floor without being charged with public indecency.
Yeah.
Like St. Louis Alderwoman Irene Smith.
In
2001, St. Louis Alderwoman Irene Smith staged a filibuster and then called on her aides to come down to the floor with a sheet, a quilt, and a trash can so that she could relieve herself without relinquishing the filibuster.
What, they constructed like a little tent around her or something?
Yeah, exactly. And then she was charged with violating the city's public urination prohibition.
How do they know? How did they hear it?
Yeah, prove it.
Prove it. Picks or it
didn't
happen.
Video or it didn't happen.
Flaming zombie picks or it didn't happen.
Right.
Yeah.
So the famous one is the catheter, which apparently belongs to Glenn Beck, or I'm sorry, to Rand Paul. Is that what this says? After his filibuster protesting the confirmation of John Brennan as CIA director, Rand Paul told Glenn Beck that he'd considered fitting himself with a catheter for the speech, but decided against it.
Remember that astronaut lady that wore diapers and drove across the country to like try to stab some other lady?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was actually an astronaut, though. There is a thing on astronaut bags here. In 1977, then Senator Bill Meyer staged a 43-hour filibuster over a bill he believed to be an attack on the state's open records laws. He wore an astronaut bag on the Senate floor, and when it filled up, then Lieutenant Bill Hobby arranged to take a message from the House while Meyer ran to the women's restroom. Why did he run to the women's restroom?
It's closer.
To empty the bag. On each trip, two sergeants at arms came with him to ensure that he never sat down. Meyer also said, is that the rule? You can filibuster until you sit
so
down?
So you can like leave the room and keep talking if you don't sit down?
I don't know.
You know, it sounds to me like the filibustering must have something in the genesis, in the rules of it, from like hazing at fraternities or something. You can't sit down and you have to wear a diaper.
Weird rules. There's a section on adult diapers. Lots of jokes and rumors have flown around about various filibustering politicians pulling a Lisa Newark and using adult diapers, though we haven't been able to confirm any of these. Is Lisa Newark the woman you're thinking of?
I don't know. I can't even get it through a whole radio show without going to the bathroom once or twice, but I drink heroic.
We take breaks, though. It's this innovative new technology. Yeah.
I drink a heroic amount of liquid caffeine each show, too.
Yeah, me too.
To keep up. By the end of the show, I'm a flaming zombie, basically. I just
so this article does not say any politician used a catheter. I swear that there was one.
I don't know, man. Maybe you just – I'm sure there's rumors, you know, because these things seem like the truth is so weird that I'm sure somebody played telephone with it and ended up with something really crazy.
Yeah, although this woman, you know, she has charges, although it says she was never convicted. She just had an internal investigation.
Politics. It's like sausage. It's like rotten sausage. It's a horrible product and you don't want to see it made.
Especially if you're peeing while you're making
Politics
it.
Politics is like Ebola sausage. It's horrible and you don't want to see it made. Chuck Barris, The Newlywed Game. Do you know that he said he was a CIA assassin while being a TV producer?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Worms.
Worms.
He made the Gong Show, too.
Cool.
Yeah. Did you ever want to be on there when you were a kid? Was that ever one of your life goals?
On the air? On the radio?
No, on the Gong Show.
No.
Me neither. On the radio?
Yeah. After I read Private Parts by Howard Stern, I wanted to be on the radio.
I watched that movie after we got on radio, but before we were on radio. It was good. Yeah. Worms.